Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. Tonight, I have some special guests, Chuck and Sharon Giacinto, and they're going to tell you some living proof that God does heal today. They were miraculously changed, healed, forgiven 20 years ago this year, and they are here to tell you about that story. And I just want to give you a short biblical basis for what you're about to hear. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that God does forgive all our sins and He heals all our diseases. And we believe that God forgives our sins. We believe, in fact, that He forgives all of our sins. And why do we believe that? Because the Bible says that He forgives all our sins. But also, the Bible says that He heals all our diseases. And sometimes we don't believe that. And oftentimes, that's because our experience doesn't match up with what the Bible says. And yet, we don't want to pull down the Word of God, and we don't want to pull down what God can do just by the basis of what we've experienced or what we haven't experienced. The Bible stands, and it continues to say, all these years, it says, God forgives all your sins, and He heals all your diseases. My desire tonight, and God's desire for you, is that God would increase your faith, that He would increase your faith so that you can be healed. If you are needing a touch from God, you can be assured that He is still in the healing business today. Throughout the Bible, we read that God heals, and we have people living today who have experienced that same touch as an undeniable testimony to the continuing work of God in our lives. If you would pull up on your screen the message notes, you'll be able to read two passages of Scripture that I'd just like you to read and pray about as I play just for about a minute on the piano. I just want you to pull those up. It's called Message Notes, and if you click on that, you'll be able to read these two passages of Scripture and just ask God to open your heart to what He has to say tonight through this message. Chuck and Sharon, I'm glad you're here. We met about a year ago, and I just really enjoyed hearing you speak and seeing how God has worked in your lives and through your lives and continues to this day, 20 years later. This was a very life-changing experience for both of you, I know, and I just wonder if you'd just share just exactly what happened 20 years ago and what was going on in your lives at the time and what's happened since.
Well, we want to thank you, Eric, for allowing us to have this opportunity. And I guess the simplest thing for me to say to start out is it's hard to believe in 1999 that there was actually a time when the word salvation was totally foreign to us. We had no idea what that meant. We hadn't heard the term or even understood the concept. It was a time in our life when we thought we had everything that we wanted, everything that we needed, and yet I found myself in a very difficult situation during our the birth of our son. It was a very difficult delivery, and I became very ill after that, and they really didn't know what was wrong. And I remember thinking to myself, well, surely the doctors will have the answer. They'll figure this out. And for about 5 years, they really did feel like they were helping me and were treating me the best that they knew how for the symptoms that I had. And after 5 years, they realized that I wasn't getting any better. And so a specialist friend of ours sent us to Loyola University Hospital in Maywood, where they discovered that I had an illness called Sheehan syndrome. And at that time, they really didn't know what to label this. And our doctor had just gone to a conference in New York where they were talking about these type of symptoms I had, where you're very weak. I couldn't walk down a hallway without reaching out and holding on to the walls. I was losing weight very rapidly. I was very dizzy, very disoriented. My husband had to practically carry me around. And it was a very frightening time in our life, having a small child. And after 5 years, they finally realized exactly what the problem was. And it was probably another 7 years before we actually got to the point where it was a matter of life and death. And during that 7 years, there was a lot of times when we would cry out in so many ways, but we wondered why, if we're such good people, why wasn't God hearing us? What were we doing wrong? And we spent a lot of time in and out of the hospital. I would go to Loyola when I would have very, very difficult times. I was near death two times that I remember that I was having, it felt like an out-of-the-body experience because I was in the process of dying. But our doctor said, I think the mere fear of death brought me back, just the adrenaline flowing from the fear of dying. And they were treating the best they could. I had to have 75 milligrams of pure cortisone every day for 7 years. I had 5 milligrams of prednisone, and I was on thyroid medication and just a whole list of medications just to keep the body going, because Sheehan syndrome is a shutdown of the pituitary. And when you're going through a difficult childbirth, it could be from trauma to the head. There's several things that can bring on Sheehan syndrome. And when this happens, the pituitary stops, and then other organs in your body begin to disintegrate, begin to stop functioning normally. And I was kind of right on schedule. They said 7 years the medicine would keep me alive and keep me functioning. And then we would have good times, but there were times when it was physically impossible for me to function normally. And so my husband had to take care of everything. He had a business to run with 21 salespeople. He had a wife that was dying. He had a small child, and it was very difficult for him. And they said at the end of 7 years that the medicine would turn on me, because your body can only tolerate so much cortisone. And, you know, when someone gives you that kind of news, you begin to take it in. And when you don't have the Lord to sustain you and to tell you that you can be healed by the blood of Jesus, and you don't know these things, then you begin to believe what everybody tells you. And we became very good friends with our doctor, but she did all that she could. And we would travel to Maywood, to Loyola, every week for treatments. They wanted to try shock therapy for the pituitary, but I wasn't a physical candidate. They wanted to do several types of things. I was losing my sight in one eye, so they wanted to remove the tumors that were forming. And I wasn't a candidate for that. I was losing weight so rapidly and losing my hair that I became not a candidate for anything that they wanted to do to sustain life. So at the end of 7 years, the medicine did stop functioning for me. And we had a real estate agent that was working for us, our good friend. And, you know, it was just, I'm sitting here before you because somebody remembered the scripture that says, all things are possible to them that believe. Mm. And she remembered that. And she came to us, and she began to feed us very simple promises of God to encourage us that I didn't have to die, that Jesus was alive, and that the God that I said I was crying out to all those years really was alive and could help me, that he wasn't just hanging on a cross on my wall, and he wasn't just a baby in a manger at Christmas time, that he really did die for me. And she began to give us hope. We began to search and believe. And one morning she said, I want to come over and I want to pray for you. And I'm going to have my husband tell more of that part of the story. But I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior then. And twice when they brought my son to see me for the last time, and when I could feel myself leaving my body in that dying process, I remember realizing, I've been a good person. Why do I suddenly have such terror in my heart that the heaven I've been told that I'm going to go to because I belong to a particular denomination, I didn't feel that peace in my heart. I knew I wasn't going to heaven. It was frightening, but I didn't know why. And I was so scared. And the night that Shirley was going to come over and pray for us, for me to receive healing, that morning I sat beside my bed and I just sat there weeping and saying the prayers that I'd said every morning and crying out. And suddenly I set my religious prayers aside, and I can't tell you why. I just know that a presence entered our room, and I found myself on my knees repeating a prayer I had never heard in my life, confessing sin I didn't know I had, saying that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus in my heart. Nobody taught me this. Nobody told me about this. But God began to prepare me to receive all that he had for me. And suddenly I knew that I wasn't going to die. And yet suddenly I knew that if I did die, it didn't matter because I was going to heaven. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, kneeling beside my bed on the day that he also wanted to heal me. And I remember being excited, but yet not physically able to rejoice. All I thought about, all I cared about, was that it didn't matter anymore. I wasn't afraid to die. But suddenly I knew I wasn't going to die, and I couldn't explain why. And I'm going to have my husband explain to you now about what happened to him and what happened when Shirley came over that night, and the transformation that he saw in me when Jesus came to me as healer and delivered me from this 12-year illness and saved my life. Chuck?
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. I'll go back to the beginning. When this all happened, when they told her, when the doctors gave her the death sentence, I was a barber at the time with my dad, and that's right after the Beatles came in with the long hair and everything, and the barber business changed terrifically. 80,000 barbers quit barbering in the United States then, and things were slowing down, and I'm trying to figure out how to give my wife a life, a lifetime in 6 to 7 years, because they said she would die. Most people do believe when the doctor says, you're going to die. You're going to die. That's the way they think. And we've been raised that way, you know. And by their experience, most of the time they're right, unless the Lord enters in, you know. I mean, we were with a lady in our church right now. We have a lady that has had a year and a half ago had cancer of the pancreas and cancer of the liver, both. And we were there when the doctor told her, 90 days you have. That's usually what you have with those type of cancers. And this is a year and a half ago, and she's well enough back to work now. So I went to further my schooling, and I went in the real estate business. I thought that'd be the fastest way I could make money. And it was. And I did well, and I think we had a good life as far as trying to build our lifetime and get a fast life. We lived in the fast lane. And I didn't come from a drinking family, but then I ended up with a furniture store and a real estate office. And the real estate group, pretty large. I had 20-some salespeople, and I had two co-managers, and the one co-manager, Shirley, who introduced us to the Lord, and she waited till the very end. You know, why do we do that as Christians? We wait till the very end, the last minute, you know. And but she did, and thank heaven she did. But in between all this time came a recession, and I'm heavily into real estate, and a lot of things were happening, and 20 some salespeople, and most of them women. They're the best salespeople, but when a man's trying to manage women, it's a problem too, you know. So I started drinking. I don't come from a drinking family. I've never seen my dad drunk. My wife don't drink. My mother don't drink. My sister don't drink. You know, we just aren't a drinking family. And I ended up with about 2 quarts of martinis and a quart of stingers a day. I would get drunk 3 times a day. I would be drunk all the time. And yet I ran business well. You know, I was, if there is such a thing as a good drunk, I didn't beat my wife. I didn't do things like that. But I was a fun drunk. You know, I had a good time. But, so I've been there. And then in the meantime, as a drinker, I'm also trying to find ways to, Shirley said I was looking for power so that I could help my wife. So I got involved with all the New Age things, all the occult things, the Rosicrucians. I went up the ladder with the Rosicrucians. It was the days of Shirley MacLaine wrote a book back then, and it wasn't even very interesting to me because I had done all those things as a beginner. The astral travel, everything, Uri Geller and those people were all big names at that time back 20 years ago. And we were, you know, it was just the thing to do, and I thought it was power. I didn't know there were demons at the time, but my religion, I went to church every day, by the way. I grew up at parochial school, I went to church every day of my life. That's the way we were raised. We had to. And I did everything we knew to do. The more money I had, the more money I sent to different organizations that were supposed to be praying 24 hours a day, and they did. And they were, they'd write back wonderful letters that were soothing to the soul, some, but nothing healed my wife. You know, she's still going to die. And we went through quite a time like that, and one day in the office, Shirley said to me, I want you to read this in your Bible. Well, like I said, I went to church every day, but I didn't have a Bible. So I went down to the bookstore, Rizzardo's bookstore, and I bought a Bible. I wouldn't buy one like hers because she was a different denomination. I had to have one like mine. You know, I wasn't sure I wanted to trust this other denomination, you know. And we were raised not to. But at this point, I was into everything. The psychic thing, I would go to the psychic, and I'd be there for my half hour with her, and then I'd sit out in the waiting room and for 2 hours telling everybody what I saw in them. And I was more popular than the psychic. I didn't know it was demons. I didn't know it was familiar spirits. I thought, no, I don't have any of them. This is okay. Transcendental meditation and all that. We, you know, people in our church did that stuff, and they were MDs and you know, respectable people. So it was okay. You know, everybody thought it was fine. So I was doing all that stuff, and then Shirley told me. So I went and bought the Bible, and she says, I want you to read the Gospel of John, I think it was, in the first 8 chapters of Acts. So I did that, and I did it quickly because at that point in time, Sharon had like less than 3 weeks to live. They told her not to come back. We were going to Loyola Medical Center in Maywood 3 times a week, and they told her there's no reason to come back. Either stay here and die or go home and die, but you'll catch a cold like every December, and you'll get pneumonia and you'll die here soon. She was 83 pounds. She was blind in one eye. Her hair was gone. Pretty much. We haven't told this for a long time. I always say, you know, Paul said, if I talk about myself, I'm a fool, so I'll speak about Christ crucified. But now I know why I didn't want to talk about self. So I called Shirley up. I read that. And I said, it sounds to me like you want to come and pray for my wife. And she said, yes. And I said, well, hurry up, because she's going to die. So, but I had had some people that, back in those days, the charismatic days had just been starting. And there were some people of other mainline mainstream denominations that had asked to pray at my wife. And, of course, I thought they were lunatics, because we didn't let anybody pray that wasn't my religion. You know, that's the way it was. And matter of fact, we used to pray for all them that they'd turn our way so they could get to heaven. We didn't know of salvation. We thought it was came by belonging to a certain church. That's why we're non-denominational now. Okay? We've been baptized in every way there is. I've been poured on, sprinkled, dipped, dunked, and I can get along with all of you out there. So, I'm not a denominational person, and if anybody thinks I'm against religion, I want you to understand that God healed my life and delivered me while we were religious. Okay, he loves people. Now, he might not be crazy about the religion because he wasn't answering the prayers, but he loves the people. Okay, so Shirley came over that evening, and I was very protective over Sharon. Like she said, I did most everything. I did the shopping. I did a lot of things at that point because she wasn't able, and she was pretty frail. So we had this big home, and she was sitting on the love seat, and I said, I'll sit across from her, and I'll hold her hands while you pray. And but I think you have to pray for me first, because if you've got this kind of power, I don't want to kill her. You know, I mean, I'd seen the glasses move across the table, thinking it was mind control. A full 8 ounce glass of water move across the table, thinking it was mind control. And you want to talk about power? I've seen the spoons bend. I've seen it all. Clock stop. And I thought it was all mind control. I didn't realize it was unclean spirits. But beside the point. But I was worried about this power is going to heal my life. That power didn't do a bit. Nothing I did and could help. So as I held her hands, Shirley started praying to God like we were used to formal prayers that were, everybody knew the same prayers. She started talking like to God like she knew him, you know. Heavenly Father, I want to talk to you. To me, Shirley, you know. And I thought, whoa, this will be good, you know. I'll let her go. She's a good friend. And the next thing you know, after she addressed him and told him what she wanted, she just started speaking in other tongues. And of course I was God heals all our diseases. He healed all Sharon's diseases and forgave all my sins. I was really into all that other stuff. I mean, I would go home every night and I had what I didn't know was an altar. I would just do what the next step said in Rosicrucians and the New Age things that I was in. And I had an altar set up. And when she laid hands on me and started speaking another tongue, I said, stop it. My spirit didn't relate to that. Although I had just read that day in the Bible, that it was scriptural, but it sure didn't go along with my spirit very well. And I said, stop that. You're not going to do that in my house. I don't know what that is. I read it, but I don't like it. And if God wants me to believe that kind of stuff, he can just give me a sign, like I'm somebody, you know, that he has to do anything. And his grace and his mercy was so wonderful. He did give me a sign. I don't advise people to do that because he doesn't necessarily have to. But in this case, I guess he saw 20 years down the line that we'd serve him. And he had mercy on us. And he did give me a sign. It was like lightning came into the room and hit me. Went through me, out my hands. I saw it, I felt it, into her, and she was healed. Like that.
It felt like the pituitary is at the base of the skull, and that's where they wanted to try the shock therapy and so forth. But when the power of God entered me, it felt like somebody hit me on the back of the head. And God is just so wonderful. He did an actual he jump-started me. I don't know how else to put it. He gave me the treatment man wanted to give me and couldn't do. Only God could do it. He literally jump-started my pituitary, and I did go back to have it checked, and it was completely normal. And we sat down with my doctor and asked her, because we had become so much good friends over the years, and just asked her to not give up on anybody, because God can heal. And they wrote "Act of God" in my
file. I didn't say it that nicely. I went in and I said, I mean, she was surprised to see us walk in and her well. And I just says, we've become good friends, and I love you dearly, but don't ever tell anybody. They're going to die. You don't have the right, because only God can decide that. And in this case, and because people believe you. People believe the doctor. They have more faith in doctors. I mean, where do they go when they're sick? As I read the Bible, and this is what most people don't do today, but it says if you're sick, if there are any sick among you, what does the Bible tell us to do? It says go to the elders in the church, and they'll pray for you, and the prayer of faith, you'll be healed. That's what the Bible says. Like you said, we have to believe this book, and we have to fall in love with this book. And we did that, and she was just so grateful, our doctor, that, you know, a little Filipino lady from the Philippines.
She was really excited for us. But I remember the look on Chuck's face the moment that I knew I was healed. And I jumped up, and I wasn't wobbling. I was dancing around the room. My eye was back. I could see. Now, I might not have looked any different to somebody else because I was still very, very skinny. Not just thin, skinny. I probably didn't look any different. But I could walk and not fall down. And God gave me the scripture. I didn't even know it was scripture. I started talking about, I'm running, I'm not tired. I'm walking and I'm not fainting. I'm not falling down. And Shirley said, Sharon, that scripture from Isaiah, you will run and not be weary, you will walk and not faint. And I didn't even know that. So God in his mercy began to teach us supernaturally about his word. But I remember the look on Chuck's face when I got up, because I was so in love with this Jesus. And we did everything together. And there began a jealousy in him for 3 days. December 10th, 20 years ago, this December 10th is when I got healed, saved in the morning and got healed. And 3 days later, Chuck locked himself in our library for 3 days because he didn't know who this God was, but he wanted to find him.
We went to bed that night, and Shirley left, and we went to bed, and she's laying there praying in tongues. And, I, you know, here we are. I didn't like Shirley doing it in my house. Now I'm in bed with a woman that's praying in tongues. And I said, what do I do? And we had this, our bedroom was 36 feet long, about 16, 18 feet wide. It was a big room. And we had one headboard, but we had two regular-size, full-size beds and a huge headboard on one wall. She had a full-size water bed, and I had a full-size regular bed. And the water bed was to help her back and all that. But I got seasick back then. I don't now. I can go on a cruise now. But she's laying there speaking in tongues. And she says, call your mom and tell her. And I said, call my mom and tell her you're speaking Yiddish? No. And we had just seen Perry Como's Christmas show on TV in Jerusalem. And a man was speaking Yiddish on there exactly the way she spoke.
What he actually said was, call Shirley, she did this to you.
He said, call Shirley, she did this to you. And I got up and I was mad. And I went down into this, what was a library in this home. And I stayed there for 3 days. And there was a little half bath right off of it. But I didn't eat, I didn't bathe, I didn't shave. I went to the bathroom. But that was all. I didn't come out of there. My folks, everybody thought I'd lost my mind, but I was determined. I Shirley brought me this one book by this Italian lady, because we were an Italian family, and she thought maybe he'll believe in Italian. So it was a book about just ask, are these people telling me the truth? Something like that. I forget. It's 20 years ago. And so I read the book, you know, real fast, and so I did what the lady said. I trusted an Italian lady, and she said, so I just asked God, I didn't know him as Father, I didn't know him as a father, and I didn't know Jesus as a Lord or Savior, nothing, but I said, if this is real, I'm watching this happen, this is real, if it's, you know, it, can I be saved? Mm. I didn't know about salvation. Can I be saved? And I went through a lot in that room. I went back to the cross. I didn't talk about that. I've never told the full story. But I did a year and a half later, speaking at a full gospel, telling this story. A year and a half later, a gentleman, the Lord, we were just telling our testimony, and I never told anybody, I didn't tell her or Shirley about my experience at the cross. I was at the cross, really there. I mean, mm-hmm. I was there. And the Lord said, you have to tell this story. And I said, I can't tell anybody. I never even told my wife. And he said, you tell it now. And I did. And a fellow came up to me afterward, and he was a Baptist fellow. And he said that he had gone back to the cross, and he went and told his pastor, and he told his wife, and they took him to the doctor, and the doctor said he they were going to have him committed because they thought he lost his mind. And he was so grateful. I mean, Baptist fellows just didn't at that time, 20 years ago, go to full gospel meetings. I mean, you know, he didn't even know I was there until he heard me start talking, and I wasn't going to tell it. And I'm bawling through this whole thing because I'd never told it, and but I was there. And I'll tell you this much about it for those that haven't been to the cross. You need to go to the cross. Everything is answered at the cross. Mm. The flesh, the soul, the spirit, everything. All our answers are at the cross. And I found myself kneeling at the cross. And he was up there. And it's true that his body was unrecognizable as a man. And the blood would drip, and it would drip, and it would hit the dirt, and it would drip onto me and splatter onto me. And I really went through a lot for 3 days. And I looked up once, because I was really having a hard time, and he was looking at me with a smile. I mean, you couldn't recognize the man. His blood covered his nakedness, but his there was a smile. I knew there was a smile. I knew he was smiling at me. And he called me by name, and he told me he loved me. And I got saved. And then after that, I mean, they'd come in the room, and then I'm trying to pray in tongues then, because now I got the Lord, and I want this thing that they had. You know, to me, the Holy Ghost was kind of a symbol. And so I want what they got. I want this Holy Ghost thing, you know. But I didn't understand it. So Shirley brought me in some pamphlets, and then I'd shut the door and I'd read them. And she had been an Episcopalian at the time. So they called it glossolalia, Episcopalians, speaking in tongues at that time. So they said, put your head back. And I put my head back. Open your mouth wide. Okay, stick your tongue out and let your tongue flow. Well, I didn't know. How do you let your tongue flow with your mouth open wide, your head back? It's really an uncomfortable position. And nothing was happening. Now let the Spirit talk. And I'm wondering, what is this? You know, I just got delivered from all that stuff. Voices, okay? I don't need this voice to come out of me. And finally, it just happened as I was just praying. And I started speaking in tongues. And I thought they were all crazy before. I didn't believe this could happen. But it did, and it's just a wonderful, like Paul said, it edifies you. It's the perfect prayer, and it's we have to read the Bible to see what it's about, I guess. We don't want to be critical of people that do that, because like I was, because then it's hard to receive something that you're so critical of, you know. But then last part of my 3 days in that room. Even though I was saved, I needed deliverance from this alcohol problem I had. And for any alcoholics that might be watching, I want you to understand that's a spirit. Because that I was standing and I saw that spirit walk right out of me. Okay, this might sound a little funny to people that aren't used to this, but this happened. And it walked right out of me, walked right out the wall and the window, and never came back. And I haven't had, and it's true what the Bible says, that when you're born again, the old person dies You become a new creature, a new creation. And all things are of God, and all things pass away. I have never had a desire. The only time I ever talk about my drinking is if I could help an alcoholic or a drug addict or something, that an addicted person, because I feel like I've never had a drink. This person has never drank. Okay? And yet, the paradox is, the other person that died, I knew very well. Mm. Okay? So, he died, and now I'm living, and I went to iced tea and Diet Coke, and I didn't even have Diet Coke then. They had the other stuff, Fresca. So I come out of the room.
As I say, can you tell we're just a little excited about what God has done?
And people, and then of course our whole life was turned totally upside down because nobody understood us at all. They said, well, you're Jesus freaks. Well, the only people that consider somebody else a Jesus freak is somebody that hasn't met Jesus. Because when you meet Jesus, you'll be a Jesus freak. I mean, they're just, you're going to fall in love with Jesus. And it's Shirley had told us at that time, you're so lucky that it happened to the two of you at the same time. Well, it was 3 days apart. It was 3 days of misery, too. But I do have a terrible feeling, compassion for those that are, apart, not both together in their walk with the Lord. It would be really hard. But we've been doing this now, and our house turned into a place like Lourdes. People were coming. Every Tuesday, I'd rent chairs. I'd rent 120 chairs, put them in our living room every Tuesday and Thursday. And we'd have speakers in, and people just wanted those that were healed and touched by God to pray with them. And we've seen every kind of miracle. And we prayed for Mormon people. One fellow had been had his arms frozen with arthritis for 18 years. We had prayed for 30 seconds, and his arms went up in the air, and he's praising the Lord. And God loves the Mormons, regardless of what some Christians think. And God loves everybody. He sent Jesus for the world, for everybody. You going to say something?
We could probably go on forever, yeah. Eric.
This is great. And so in the last 20 years, then you had more and more people come into your house. You eventually formed a church, and now you're pastors of a church that really ministers to a lot of people and declares the wonders of God and really draws people into that love relationship with Christ that will take them straight from here into the next realm, and especially with the end coming. That's the most critical thing that you can do as well. I really just want to have them pray with you right now. And just, if you are needing God to do something in your life, the reason I ask them to come is simply to increase your faith. The Bible says that there was a man who was lame. This is in Acts 14, 8 through 10. And Paul saw this man. It says, in Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Somehow, as Paul was speaking and talking and declaring about the wonders of God, this man, his faith was increased, and he had the faith to be healed. And Paul saw that, noticed that, and just spoke it, and just said, "Stand up." And the man stood up, jumped up to his feet, and was healed instantly. And the crowd was so miraculously awed that they started rushing over all these people and bringing more and more of the sick people to Paul to be healed. So I just want that to happen for you, and I know God wants that for you as well. And so I just want Chuck and Sharon to just spend a few minutes praying with you. And whatever you're struggling with, if you need to be forgiven of your sins and come to meet Jesus today, like they described, if you need to be healed physically or emotionally or spiritually, God can do the whole ball of wax at one time. He can do it all. He forgives all our sins and he heals all our diseases. And this is just straight from the Bible. Even the speaking in tongues and the being filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul said, I wish that you would all speak in tongues, and I'm thankful that I speak in tongues more than any of you. These are things that are just straight from the Bible that we can say we've never experienced that before, or that seems weird to us, and yet they're just coming straight out of the book that Christians around the world acknowledge as the Word of God. And I know Chuck was going to just encourage you just to read your Bible. Just go back and read it and look at these stories. Look through the first eight chapters of John like he did, and just read what happened in the days of Jesus. Read about the healings that took place throughout the last 6,000 recorded years here in the Bible. Read what happened in Jesus' day. And if you wonder if Jesus can even heal today, let me put you at rest that he can. It said in Jesus actually was the one that commissioned his 12 disciples, and he told them, and those notes are on your screen, he told them, I want you to go out and cast out demons and heal the sick and preach the gospel. Whenever the gospel was preached, so was healing and so was the casting out of demons. Those things all occurred at the same time. Then later, in Luke 10, Jesus sends out 72 and he gives them authority to do the same thing. And he says, go and heal the sick, cast out demons, preach the gospel. So it wasn't something just that Jesus could do. It was something that he empowered his disciples to do, the 12, that he empowered the 72 to do. And then at the end of his life, Jesus says, now go. In the Great Commission, he says, now go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I've taught you. So that applies to each one of us. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can pray like your friend Shirley did. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and somehow that power of God came like lightning as she prayed for you and you prayed for Sharon, and it just went right through, and the power of God brought that healing. I can't explain it. I don't feel any need to defend it. We just need to come and pray for you, and what I want for you to do is have your faith rise up within you. So Chuck and Sharon, if you would just lead in a prayer, I'm just going to play the piano and just let people call out to God and say, Lord, heal me. Lord, forgive me. And we'll just see that God does a miraculous work in your lives as well.
Amen. And as we pray for you, I know it's easier to believe when you have been miraculously healed, when you've had the supernatural power of God raise you from a deathbed. I know it's easier to believe when you've been delivered from alcohol. But Jesus said, come as a child. This isn't about where you are. This isn't about how much you know. This is about who you know. This is about yielding to the power of the living God. So, Father, we just come before you. Father, we know that you love everyone that is within listening distance, that is seeing this. Father, we know that you know their needs before they even speak them. And we stand on your covenant promises, Lord. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins, for our sickness, for the chastisement of our peace, for our poverty. You desire every person to receive you, yes, as Lord and Savior, but it's a package deal. You want to heal their bodies. So, Father, we just, right now, we reach out. And there's no distance in the Spirit, Father. We just lay hands upon these people, upon their bodies. That sickness leave in Jesus' name. We bind every infirm spirit and command it to leave. We drive sickness from their midst. And Father, that faith be infused in them, that the Word of God come alive within them. Whatever their need is, Father, that they reach out to the cross, that they call upon the name of Jesus Christ, the one who will heal and deliver. Chuck, you want to add to that prayer?
I'd like to add And if you're not familiar with your Bible, you could read 1 Corinthians 12. There is, they call it a word of knowledge, and I'd like to add that there's a couple of healings that somebody that going to be watching this, would the Lord would like to heal you. And one would be your
around the elbow of the left arm. I don't know if it's arthritic or what, but it's a soreness in almost from the muscle on down below the to below the elbow, and the right eye. There's I'm not sure if there's a tumor or what it would be. Maybe just an eye problem on the right eye, right at the top of the like eyebrow area. And in the right hand, there's some stiffness in the fingers, like an arthritic condition. God wants to heal those things right now, and He will. He's going to heal them for you. And if you would be so kind to email Eric and tell him that you've received that healing, so that God will. He can tell people that God needs the glory. God is going to heal you for His glory, not, and we just get the benefit of everything. So I'd just like to add that He wants the three healings there.
Thank you, Lord. And I just want to speak to anyone out there that would be suffering from Sheehan syndrome, that would have any kind of tumor, breast tumors that I've been healed from, blindness that I've been healed from, anything at all that comes in these categories. I just feel a special anointing to pray for you, that you put your eyes on Jesus, that He will do for you what no man can do. He will deliver you from these diseases, and He will lift you from that bed of affliction. Anyone out there that has been told they have a certain amount of time to live, anyone that's been given a death sentence, for whatever reason it is, whatever the illness is, I know how you feel. I know what it feels like to have somebody tell you, you have so much time to live. Don't receive what man says, receive what the Word of God. Go to the Word of God and see what He says about you. And I just speak life to you. I speak life in Jesus' name. Trust the Word of God. Cry out to God. He will heal you. He will hear you. And He will lift you from that deathbed. And He will raise you up to serve Him. Because He loves you. Again, it's not because of who you are. It's not because of what you can do. It's because He loves you. Trust in Him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that anyone that needs to know you today in a deeper way would just put their full trust in you, say, I repent of my sins, and I believe that you are alive, and I believe that you died for me, and that you want me to come and be with you forever. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can do the things you want me to do and that I want to do myself. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring me into your glorious kingdom when you come again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, it's good to hear this. The Bible is full of stories of people that have been healed and touched, and testimony after testimony. And I'm just glad that we can continue to add testimonies of what God has done in our lives, and all for the purpose of bringing people right to Jesus. So,
His glory.
Something we couldn't do on our own, that's for sure. And I'm just amazed just to see you alive 20 years later. When you had 3 weeks to live, and to me see too. You sober and alive, and leading a church and a congregation of people closer and closer to the Lord. It's just
I'm
great.
55 years old, and I can dance like a teenager.
That's great. Thanks for coming. If you want to chat with us in the chat room after this live broadcast, we'll be there. And if you want to find me throughout the week, you can email me at pokey@theranch.org or find me on ICQ, and I'd be glad to talk and pray with you more. Also, there's a link on our homepage to the church that Pastor Chuck and Sharon belong to and lead. And so if you would like to take a look at their church, you're welcome to do that as well. Thanks for coming tonight, and I hope you'll join me again next week, live from the ranch.